Good evening. It's the 5th of June. It's only like 10 past 11 p.m. on Saturday the 5th of June. I'm here at Shahid Curry with Grimsy and Mr. Luke Sims. Feeling strangely self-conscious doing this because I do intros like this all the time. I don't know why. I suppose I feel humbled by the thing we've just witnessed, which was like reading the opening sort of movement of Grimsy's epic notorious diary of his travels through Eastern Europe, which it's a hefty document, but it's fucking gold. And you know, we're gonna serialize this shit like
installments, baby.
Sims is never actually gonna have to work as a masseuse because this will make his fortune. He also suggested recording just some general audio, which I would also thought was a good idea. I'm building this up too much. I'm really fucked up. We just listened back to the recording. It was really good. But I was wanting to quiz Sims about James Bond, and there was a particular... if I said to you that Roger Moore, in my opinion, was definitely the best James Bond... Not that I would be trying to play the devil's advocate or anything, so to speak. What would you say?
You just... had to go for the jugular. I will say that Roger Moore is the cheesiest, most cliched and pathetic James Bond of them all. This time. Watching one of his movies is like watching a really bad episode of Doctor Who. That's what it's like. You might be a fan of James Bond, but the show... Like, you might be a really big Doctor Who fan, but if you show someone a really embarrassingly bad episode of Doctor Who, you feel really embarrassingly bad for fucking showing it to them.
It's because you care. And
if you show someone a Roger Moore movie, I don't care which one, pick one, anyone, you will have that level of embarrassment because...
James Bond of my childhood, so it's kind of the James Bond I know, but so I have a certain sentimental attachment to Roger Moore. Although I recognise that, you know, having seen other people do James Bond, he wasn't the best, but...
For me, like...
But where about Australian?
No, man.
Timothy Dalton.
No, Timothy Dalton is not Australian. He means George Lazenby. All right, I'll say this. No, I'll give you an abortion with my boots. No.
Are they steel cap boots?
They are steel cap boots. Welcome to Broadmeadows. No, the thing about George Lazenby is... He might not have been the greatest Bond ever, but he did happen to be in, funnily enough, the greatest Bond storyline ever.
This is going to be another
47 minutes. All right. And that might not make sense. Is he the best Bond? No. But was his movie one of the best? Yes. Because it's a good thriller, it's a good action movie, you don't need to know anything about Bond, you just show it to someone who has no stake in Bond films, and then boom, it's badass.
It occurred to me that it's quite interesting that the incredible formulaicness of the Bond movies, the way that, yeah, each one, you're trying to recombine these elements so that people feel like they're actually watching a different movie. And it being like, and you made this point about... The really good ones bring something new to the formula. But it's just like pop music in terms of it. It's just like recombining very standard elements.
So what kind of things are they
bringing
to the formula?
Well, good thing with the Daniel Craig versions is they don't continue Bond as being Bond from when Pierce Brosnan quit the role. They pretend that Casino Royale from a few years ago was... his very first Bond adventure, how he became a 00 agent and all that kind of shit. So they kind of rebooted it, which made it all fresh and shit. And the movie is actually smart and pretty fucking cool. Pretty fucking cool. The second Bond film he made wasn't quite as intelligent and smart, but it was still kind of fresh because it followed it on directly from the first film he made, so it was like Bond's second adventure ever, even though it's like 2007 and he's got like all the new badass technology and shit.
So people really just like feeling that they forgot everything before.
There's no real continuity in the Bond films, really.
Mm. Because you were saying this thing earlier, which I found. You were complaining that in The World Is Not Enough, Denise Richards was unconvincing as a brain surgeon. You know, like.
The nuclear physicist.
Nuclear physicist, sorry.
Alright, that movie is really awesome.
Of course it was. And really
that movie is really cool. That's a really cool Bond film. But Bond films might be known for their pieces of toddy. But very rarely are the women in those films cast as something unrealistic. They're usually croupiers. Maybe a sexy spy like Emma Peel and shit.
Take over the world.
George Lazenby's film. Yeah. Another reason to think of it as one of the best Bond films ever. Emma Peel from the Avengers.
Ooh.
Is the Bond
really?
Girl.
Really? I've never heard about this.
Is the Bond girl. So even if you're bored of George Lazenby, you've got Emma Peel in...
I've never seen The Avengers. I saw the movie with Ralph Fiennes and...
That was horrible. The Avengers movie... No, it was Ralph Fiennes. Wasn't it Ewan McGregor?
It was Ralph Fiennes.
I'm pretty sure it was... Ralph Fiennes and Uma fucking Thurman.
I certainly don't judge The Avengers on the basis of that, because I've never seen it. I know it's a legendary
popcorn. And then they had Val Kilmer playing the Saint. And funnily enough, do you know who the original Saint was? It was Roger Moore. And he was very suave and very awesome at it. Unfortunately, he suffered from being in the worst Bond films of all time for about 7 movies in a row. Actually, he was in seven Bond films. And all this shit.
What are you saying that you're not so much dissing Roger Moore as dissing the movies?
Well, yeah, man, the guy could act.
The guy could act, but just he had the misfortune to be in a bad run of James Bond movies. Okay. That's hard. That's poor old Roger Moore.
The 70s Roger Moore films are really dated and really bad, but then you watch the 60s movies with fucking Sean Connery, and they don't seem as dated. Then you watch the 2 80s films with Timothy Dalton, and they don't seem as dated either. But the Roger Moore ones, we'll put you... tense up and be prepared to cringe your ass through 2.5 hours of crap per film.
Okay. I'll do that.
Though Christopher Lee was in one of the films, and that was pretty cool.
Lee. Which one's that?
Man with the Golden Gun.
Oh, I think that's
he has a powerful weapon. He charges 1,000,000 a shot. An assassin second to none. The man with the golden gun. That was the man with the golden gun. Also had the... It also had the midget from the... Also had the midget from the 70s show, like, Fantasy Island. You know the guy? De Plane. That was him. That was the same midget in Man with the Golden Gun.
Same midget.
The same fucking midget, man.
There's only so many midget actors.
Nah, man. Like if
I'm pretty sure if I was a midget, I would be an actor. Yeah, it's Giles Farrellis.
I don't know.
There was a midget actor in The Prisoner as well. He died in the 70s, not long after The Prisoner.
The day before, after
I came back from Europe, I watched
In Bruges with Colin Farrell.
Probably.
That's a really cool film. It's good. A
really cool film. And he was going on about how midgets. Famous midgets always commit suicide.
I don't think we should get distracted.
And on, brother.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You'd have a lot of self-hate if you're a famous midget.
No, I call bullshit on that. Why? Because Gary Coleman had a disease that meant he looked like a kid for fucking forever. He commit suicide? No. He died from other bullshit.
He died honourably.
Gary Coleman had some balls. Fuck you, midgets. Fuck you, midgets, and your sissy-ass fucking suicidal tendencies.
Sims, you're making an important point.
Gary Coleman was a kid.
From the core issue of
Gary Coleman was a child for life, and he didn't kill himself, did he?
After watching Eric Cartman beat up a midget, that's how he died?
That was my status update. My status, I watched the South Park episode where Gary Coleman beat, when Cartman, not Gary Coleman, when Cartman beat up a midget. And then I find out an hour later Gary Coleman died and I couldn't help but fucking laugh myself sick.
They'll never trace it back to you, like perfect crime.
I don't know if Gary Coleman watches South Park. I'm not his biographer and shit. I'm not his fucking TV guide subscriber fucking whatever.
Anyway, we were talking about Doctor Who.
No, we weren't. We're talking about James Bond.
James Bond, I'm sorry.
If we were talking about Doctor Who.
James Bond. Where were we? George Lazenby. Sorry.
Nah, his Bond film is really awesome. I'd say like the best Bond films ever. There you go, from Rush with Love.
I've never seen
this very second Bond film. I've
never seen a Sean Connery Bond film, and I don't really understand how Sean Connery works as James Bond, because he's supposed to be this sort of incredibly suave Englishman. And
nah,
Sean
man.
Like this Scottish guy.
The good thing about From Russia with Love is
it's the not on the communist side.
See, for that. Well, the good thing from Russia with Love is it's not just. You don't even think of it as a Bond film. You think of it as a really, really, really tight spy thriller.
Okay.
And by the end of the film, you come away with the thinking, damn, that was a pretty good movie. And that's the same thing with On Her Majesty's Secret Service, which has, yes, George Lazenby. And I'm schooling you motherfuckers right now. And then you've got the next Bond films I'd recommend would probably be Timothy Dalton's Double, License to Kill, and The Living Daylights, which might not be the most awesome Bond films, but Dalton is badass as James Bond. He's the Jack Bauer of James Bond. He's awesome. And after that, yeah, maybe watch GoldenEye and then skip to Daniel Craig. So there's pretty much only six or seven out of 22 films worth watching. Oh man, that hurts. Especially since I've watched them all like four times each.
Station event, like, you should have a Best of James Bond Festival.
I should. Who'd turn up? Anyone listening to this would turn up to that?
I don't think we're recording. Are we recording?
Yeah, we're recording.
Recording now?
Totally recording. Oh. I'm not sure whether to the merit of this recording, but we're recording. I'm sure that Tegan's blog was definitely in need of some James Bond debate. Having been reading and following his blog for the last couple of years, one thing I did notice that people said in his comment sections were, when are you going
when
to talk about James Bond?
To talk about James Bond?
Yeah,
this is what we demand.
When are you going to talk about James Bond movies?
Are you going to respond to our needs, or are you just going to continue on your own selfish path?
Yeah. That's it. It's like,
is this community media or what?
Take it, man.
And I had to respond. I had no choice.
You had no choice. You were you had a gun pointed at you, an imaginary internet gun from imaginary land. But whatever.
Everything's imaginary.
You know, your virtual online gun.
Don't make me get all Rene Descartes on your ass, Tegan.
Well, what is real, except.
I think therefore I am taken.
It all depends.
And that's all I got.
Interesting on this subject. Forms of pressure that you can apply to people. In terms of social exclusion.
I love tangents.
Sort of social dynamics can be used as a powerful weapon to compel people to do things.
If I had an album, if I was a jazz, if I was a jazz musician,
whereas you know,
my first album would be called Tangents because I'd name my first song James Bond. And then by the end of that song, we'd be fucking doing trumpet about.
We'd be doing trumpet about
psychological shit that you were just talking about.
That I was just talking about. That's what we'd be doing.
And you can put all that in trumpets and saxophones and piano.
You can express all this shit in trumpets and saxophone and piano. Like Justin was talking about last night about painting, and he was showing us all this stuff from by this painter.
Yeah,
on the
it's
internet.
Awesome. Awesome.
It was awesome. And he was talking about painting in a way that made me kind of realise that painting is a medium that I have not considered enough. In terms of, yeah. Because I don't really appreciate it. I mean, I don't. I've got nothing against it, but I haven't ever really. It's interesting.
Where's Justin anyway?
It is weird to be against painting as an artist. Since there's been pretty much the dominant.
It. That's what I said, I'm not against it.
Yeah, form of art, like ever.
Alright.
You're talking!
Sims is totally going to the toilet right now. He asked me not to say that on the audio, but I did. he'll probably never trust me again. What were we talking about?
he seems like, you know, so you're doing art, obviously.
Yeah. But I'm not against painting. I've got nothing against it.
Yeah, it's pretty much like...
But it's a bit overbearing.
It's pretty much like being against rock and roll without guitar.
It's like being against rock and roll without guitars.
With guitars.
Well,
you know, like
do you not think?
Rock,
do you not think there's a place for that? Not. I'm not saying that I think this analogy is fair. A, because I'm not against painting. Not against it. I'm just kind of neutral on it. But I think it's interesting that, as sort of the dominant traditional visual art medium, you know, by a mile, it's sort of. I would naturally be inclined to hate it because I hate. Because it's so dominant. I would, you know, and there's a place for people who like. Rock music without guitars.
I'm back. I did not go to the toilet.
Luke's back. We're back in business.
No, I just...
Turn on toilet light.
All right,
I hope,
went to the
hope this is
going to
be audible enough. I can probably fix the audibleness. I wonder how much time
what the can? What are we listening to? Is this fucking Donovan or something? What the fuck is this?
It's love.
It's love.
It's love's forever changes out.
I'm sorry.
Love's that
but
ugly.
When I think much of myself it's Daniel love. Grimsey, I do not think psychedelic 60s music.
Arthur Lee.
I do not...
He was the man. He was the guy from Love.
Okay. In that case, maybe.
You know more about love than Danny.
He was considered to be very eccentric. He once set his hair on fire whilst trying to iron it.
Yeah,
and did all
like,
kinds
yeah,
of
yeah,
other
that,
very
that
eccentric
like
things.
Kind of thing I would do.
Yeah. He was Arthur Lee. How mad is he? They would say.
I love this man. I love the little picture we have for recording. It's like an
it's
old
like
school microphone.
It's a 1940s microphone. It's awesome.
It is pretty awesome.
It's casing. It's pretty awesome.
All right. This is that silence was me looking at the 1940s microphone and admiring it. I had nothing to say except to say that it's a pretty cool microphone. I'm done with Bond films, man. I don't. My rant is over.
We didn't make 47 minutes. We only got 17. But that's all right. You made a valiant effort. That was pretty good. Thank you. Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
If you want me to rant, just mention Jack Bauer or Doctor Who, and I'll just.
I'm not ready for the Jack Bauer rant. I'm not ready for it. One day, maybe. Especially since I've never seen 24. So all this TV that I've not seen.
Hey, Massive
it's terrible.
Attack!
Luke likes Massive
your
Attack.
Eardrum.
The new Massive Attack album is awesome, apparently.
Oh man, it's back! Oh shit, it's on my iPod.
It's on his iPod. We could play it right now.
Oh my god, you
it's
guys
exciting.
Lose your shit and orgasm in your brains.
I'm excited.
Who doesn't like orgasming?